कल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरि हरि हरे राम 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 हरि हरि Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the nature of Prahlad Maharaj's great love is revealed. He is only a child of 5 years old. When in the womb of his mother, he heard the great saint Narada Muni speak the glories of Lord Krishna and the path of perfection. And the child, within the womb of his mother, became so deeply affected that he surrendered his heart, his soul, his life to Krishna. And when he came into this world, nothing could bewilder him because he was fixed in meditation on the Lord, always remembering the Lord. In this world, there are so many allurements. Maya, or the illusory energy, provides unlimited opportunities to divert our attention away from the Lord within our heart. When we come in contact with material nature, we forget our true nature, which is to serve and to love. Love is expressed through selfless service. In true love, there can be no tinge of selfishness. Real love is the complete sacrifice of our body, mind, words, and life for the pleasure of our beloved. But in this world, we want to be enjoyer. We want to be controller. And we struggle in so many ways to fulfill these ambitions. And we may succeed, or we may fail. But the greatest tragedy is in the process our consciousness is diverted from our real, true happiness, our real welfare, which is the eternal loving service of the Supreme, who is all attractive, who is all beautiful. People who become frustrated after birth of struggling in this existence, trying to be happy, trying to avoid pain. Sometimes they take to the path of the impersonalists, wanting to negate all illusion, negate all our desires and egoistic aspirations. And in the state of mukti, or liberation, one can achieve everlasting peace or shanti. But Prahlad Maharaj is exhibiting symptoms far beyond shanti, or the peace of liberation from all suffering and duality. Prahlad Maharaj is experiencing ananda, spiritual ecstasy. Beyond the realization of the impersonal aspect of the Supreme is understanding the Lord who is personally resided within the heart of every living being. And above and beyond that, the most complete, full-fledged understanding and realization of the Supreme is Bhagavan, the Supreme, all-attractive, loving personality of Godhead, who in the spiritual realm beyond this world of birth and death is performing the most charming pastimes of love with his devotees. And in those pastimes, the Lord perfectly reciprocates with all of our innermost aspirations to love and be loved. And that is Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was fixed in that state of consciousness. Not as a show, but as a genuine expression, when he was sometimes sitting alone due to his advancement in Krishna consciousness, we find here that sometimes he would feel love and separation and cry out in full anxiety. But that anxiety of love and separation is billions and trillions and quadrillions of a deeper experience of happiness than simply to be in a state of peace. Because it is an expression of love, and the Lord reciprocates within our hearts with that expression. And sometimes he would see the Lord coming. He would actually see the Lord coming to him, saying, "Oh my child, do not cry, I am coming." Just like a loving father and mother, Prahlad Maharaj would become so completely jubilant that with no apparent reason, he would just rise and start dancing in ecstasy. He's all alone in a secluded place. He's not practicing some dance. It's just the upsurge of love in his heart that just impels his body to dance in ecstasy. Tears flowing from his eyes, his hair standing on end, his limbs trembling, his voice being choked up. And other times he would become so absorbed in Krishna, so absorbed that he would forget his own identity and begin to perform the pastimes of Krishna himself. Although he is not Krishna, that was just his absorption in loving for Krishna. This is Prahlad Maharaj. And we're going to read in the future verses of these chapters how Prahlad Maharaj, a 5-year-old innocent helpless little boy, was persecuted by the most powerful dictator in the entire universe, his own father Hiranyakashipu, who could not tolerate Prahlad seeing anyone as great except himself. This is the nature of envy. It is intolerable within our minds to have competitors who are equal to or better than ourselves. And the more we have prestige, the more we have the honor of others, the more we have such success, the more difficult it is to bear anyone who has more than ourselves. So here's little Prahlad, who Hiranyakashipu considered his own son, who wanted to control him. And little Prahlad is worshipping Krishna, not Hiranyakashipu. Although Prahlad was completely respectful, sympathetic, and kind to his father, still, he always chanted God's names. His father could not tolerate, "Who is this God?
What is this nonsense? Why are you polluted with this misconceptions? And ultimately, Hiranyakashipu, his envy was so deep, he tried to murder his own son in every possible way. But Prahlad was fearless. He was never disturbed. Mari Krishna Rake Ke Rake Krishna Mari Ke. He was depending on Krishna. If Krishna wants to kill me, then let me die at his lotus feet. And if Krishna wants to protect me, then who can harm me? This is the symptom of his surrender. He just gave his heart, he gave his life to Krishna. Fear comes when we have separate interests. Bajahure mana srinandanandana abhayat sharanaravindare. Human life is so rare. We should pray to our mind according to this beautiful prayer. Pray to our mind, please engage yourself in the loving service of Sri Nandanandana. Then you become fearless. Otherwise, there's cause of fear, potentially, at any moment. If we believe that nothing is mine, everything is Krishna, then what do we have to fear to lose? If we believe in Krishna's love, then in life, in death, or anything, we're happy. Maro virago bijo icha tohar. Bhaktivinod Thakur says, my Lord, if you want to kill me, kill me. If you want to protect me, protect me. I'm your eternal servant. You can deal with me in any way you please. That was Prahlad. So he was always happy. There was absolutely no power in this world that could disturb his happiness. Krishna tells in Gita, one who is illuminated within, one who rejoices within, one who finds one's pleasure within, is a person of steady happiness. If we look for our happiness outside of ourselves, it's beyond our control. The dualities of nature have an effect of crushing our egos in due course of time, because we're simply not the controllers. But when we give up that propensity and find happiness, pleasure within our hearts in loving service to the Lord, then our happiness is real, transcendental, and eternal. That was Prahlad's state. And the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to teach all of us how to achieve that state of spiritual perfection. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna himself. He appeared in the role of a devotee to teach us how each and every one of us, whoever we may be, whatever our background, it doesn't make any difference. The Lord simply accepts the sincerity of our purpose to serve, to purify our hearts, and to develop that love. That's all. Today's verse, we're reading about little Prahlad's symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a wonderful pastime describing Lord Chaitanya manifesting such symptoms of ecstasy. It is appropriate to tell this story today, because at New Vrindavan, we are celebrating later this morning Ratha Yatra of Lord Jagannath. So I'd like to very briefly describe how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu celebrated Ratha Yatra. as was explained yesterday, after the Snan Yatra, Lord Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, the beautiful deities of Krishna, his brother and sister, in the holy land of Jagannath Puri, they go into a secluded place where Anabasara takes place. When Ratha Yatra was coming and Lord Jagannath was going to be brought by chariot from Sri Kshetra to Gundicha, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach the world a good lesson. That we cannot welcome the Lord within our heart unless our heart, like a temple, is perfectly clean and pure. And how he endeavored to clean the Gundicha temple with his devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so enthusiastic, so determined to clean the temple of the heart, that it appeared that he was working as if he had 1,000 arms. To teach us what determination and enthusiasm we must have if we want to clean the dust, the sand, and the straw from our hearts in the form of lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, illusion, anger. How to clean our hearts from these things? As long as our hearts are polluted, those pollutions like dust covering a mirror prevent us from seeing our true self and our relation with God. And the most profound and powerful way of cleaning the heart is the chanting of God's names. Cheto darpana marajanam bhavama adhavagni devapana. So they cleaned the temple immaculately. And on the day of Ratha Yatra, Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they rose very early in the morning to take their baths. And then they assembled at Singhadwaram, the main gate in front of Jagannath's temple. And Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra were brought with great effort to their chariots by the Dayatapatis. The Lord wants to teach the world through everything He does. We know the history that during the time of Maharaj Indrajumna, long, long ago, Krishna or Jagannath in the form of Nila Madhava was worshipped by pig farmers. Not a very prestigious position within society. How many of you would like to become pig farmers? Hare Krishna. It's a very simple service. Just feeding pigs and doing whatever else pigs require, day and night. So not a very respected aristocratic position. But yet, because of their love and devotion to the Lord, traditionally for thousands and thousands of years, the descendants of these pig farmers had the exclusive right to personally worship Jagannath during the 15 days he's in seclusion and during the time of Ratha Yatra as well. Because the Lord does not care what is our caste, what is our sex, what is our education, what is our income. The Lord is only concerned with the sincerity of our purpose, His bhakti vatsala. He reciprocates with our devotion. Now Jagannath in Puri is very large size. It takes about a dozen people simultaneously to carry him. Some are carrying with their from below his feet, and some are behind his back, and some are in his arms, and they have these big, thick, silken ropes that they use to lift him. And there were these big pillows called pulleys, and they would lift Jagannath from one pillow to another, and he was so heavy, sometimes it would just break the pillow, and the cotton would ascend into the sky. They put Jagannath on his chariot, magnificent chariot. Do you know in Puri, they make a brand new chariot every single year? We've been using the same chariot here for the last 20 years. But they make brand new. And they're huge, three chariots. Jagannath's chariot has 18 wheels. Baladev's chariot, 14 wheels. Subhadra Devi's chariot, 12 wheels. And each wheel is larger than any man. Huge. Compared to Mount Sumeru, and decorated so nicely with hundreds of mirrors and hundreds of chamaras and beautiful embroideries on the dome and wonderful carvings within the wood depicting the Lord's Leelas and beautiful carvings of horses that are in front of the chariot. Each chariot has four horses. Gigantic ropes, so thick, practically a city block long, and thousands of people at a time struggling to pull the chariot so heavy. Hare Krishna, this is Rath Yatra. Every year, they get a special type of very, very sacred wood to make these chariots. And it takes no less than 700 trees, 700 full-grown trees to make these chariots. Hare Krishna. And after the return of Rath Yatra, they disassemble all the wood and they use it for cooking for Jagannath in the kitchen. It's very sacred wood. And then the next year, it takes about 2 months to make the new chariots. And it's all hand craftsmen. And in order to make these chariots, they don't just hire somebody. It's done out of free devotion. In order to be a carpenter, you have to be from the family of carpenters who has been making these chariots for thousands of years. And they're so expert. Gigantic chariot. They don't use a single screw, nail, or bolt. They carve every piece so they perfectly fit within each other. Hare Krishna. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath ascending on his beautiful chariot, he and his devotees were so very, very blissful. And then something extraordinary took place. Shall I tell? The king of Orissa, King Pratapa Rudra, he came in simple clothes, carrying a broom with a golden handle, and accepted the most menial, humble, insignificant, apparent service of sweeping the road in front of Jagannath for the pleasure of the Lord and his devotees. Bhangi. The king accepted the role of a street sweeper. The most menial of all jobs. And as we have explained, the Lord does not see what we do. He sees the purpose of the heart, which motivates us to do so. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, could see the heart of King Prataparudra. He was actually feeling himself the most insignificant, menial street sweeper of the Lord. And because he took such a humble position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to give him his complete mercy. Previously, King Prataparudra wanted to have a personal interview with Lord Chaitanya. But because Lord Chaitanya was in the role of a sannyasi in the renounced order, in order to show an example for others, he would not freely mix with materialistic people. And kings living in palaces with so much wealth and manipulating vast armies are so much connected to materialistic things. King Prataparudra was so powerful. He was so wealthy. He was one of the greatest kings of the age. At that time, Mughal invaders wanted to conquer him, but he was so strong. His strategic planning, his armies, the Mughals could not penetrate his kingdom. And there were other kings from Vijayanagar who were also from the south trying to attack and conquer his kingdom, but they were not able to do so. He perfectly protected all of his citizens. He was truly an opulent, majestic, great person. There is no political leader in today's world that had the majesty, the opulence, and the power of King Prataparudra. But yet, as they say, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But not for one who loves God. He had absolute power in his kingdom. However, he always felt himself the menial, humble servant of the servant of the servant of all other servants. He didn't consider anything to be his own. He considered that he was performing his work simply as a caretaker of God, because everything belongs to the Lord. King Prataparudra was a loving servant of every living being, even the most insignificant of his subjects. He had no false pride. And therefore, he could come out in public, in the face of everyone, and sweep the street. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then decided that he would give him complete mercy and fulfill all of his spiritual aspirations on that very day. And they began, after the king swept the road, the chariots moved forward. Sometimes they would stop, sometimes they would move. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with folded hands, welcomed Lord Jagannath in the traditional Orient style of calling out, Mani Ma, Mani Ma, with folded palms, which is the tradition of welcoming a most exalted person into our hearts. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath, organized his devotees into 7 Sankirtan parties. The first party, the lead singer was the great Swarup Damodar Goswami. Would you like to hear something of the power of his singing? When he would chant the names of the Lord, and when he would chant the pastimes of the Lord, he had such deep, ecstatic love that it would utterly melt the hearts of all the devotees. One time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the kirtan of Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he went so totally mad that he just fell. He was dancing, and he just fell right into a deep, 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 dry well.
Hare Krishna. The devotees were very much worried.
They were in utter distress. Millions of times more than if they fell in that well themselves, that their beloved object, Lord Chaitanya, had fallen into this deep, dark, dry well. They went running with tears in their eyes, rushing to see what they could do. And when they got to the well, they saw that it was filled with fresh, soft, creamy butter. And Lord Chaitanya was floating on that butter. That is the power of Swarup Damodar Goswami's kirtan. And the lead dancer in that group Lord Chaitanya signed was Advaitacharya, who was incarnation of Sadashiva, the original Shiva of the spiritual world, and Mahavishnu, Karunadakshayi, the first Purusha avatar, who by his mere exhalation creates all the universes within creation. He was dancing. In the second group, Lord Chaitanya selected Srivas Thakur to be the lead singer and Nityananda Prabhu to be the lead dancer. Srivas Thakur's original identity is Narada Muni, who travels throughout the universe. Narada Muni bhajai bina radhika ramana name, singing the glories of Lord Krishna, the lover of Sri Radha, playing his veena by the power of his words, by the power of his songs. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and so many other great personalities perfected their lives. He was leading that kirtan. And the lead dancer was Nityananda Prabhu. Rajendra Nandana Jay Sachishuta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nitai. Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, appeared as the son of Sachi, Lord Chaitanya, and Balaramji, Rohini Nandan, appeared as Nityananda Prabhu. His dancing was so graceful, so beautiful, that wherever he danced, he flooded that area with love of God. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not resist appearing wherever Nityananda Prabhu danced. In the third group, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appointed Mukunda Dutt to be the lead singer. Mukunda Dutt is a cowherd boy from the spiritual world who is eternally singing the glories of Radha and Krishna. When Mukunda Dutt would sing, the devotees' hearts would melt in love. And the lead dancer in that group was Srila Haridas Thakur, the very Namacharya, who chanted without fail at least 300,000 names of the Lord each day. That is approximately 192 rounds. He was willing to sacrifice his life, his everything, to uplift others. How he danced. In the fourth group, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assigned Govinda Ghosh to be the lead singer. And responding were his two brothers, Madhava Ghosh and Basudev Ghosh. And the lead dancer for that party was Vakreshwar Pandit. One time, Vakreshwar Pandit danced as Lord Chaitanya sang for 72 hours continuously in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya said that you are like my wing. If I had another wing like you, I could fly anywhere. Vakreshwar Pandit was the very embodiment of compassion and love. And then the Lord performed one group from the residents of Shantipur in which Achyutananda, that was the lead dancer, the son of Advaitacharya, there was a group from Sri Kanda that was formed, in which Narahari Sarakar and Raghunandan Thakur were the lead dancers. And there was a group from Sri Kanda, or from Kulinagram, in which Satyaraj and Ramananda were the lead dancers. Each group had two murdangas. So simultaneously there was 14 murdangas playing. And many, many respondent chanters. And everyone was dancing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized it so four of the kirtan groups were in front of Lord Jagannath's chariot. One group was on either side and one group was behind. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu induced them all to play their murdangas and karatals and blow their horns and loudly, tumultuously fill the entire universe with the holy names. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy. He was dancing from one group to the next, from one group to the next. And then he performed a great miracle. He simultaneously expanded himself into seven forms and was dancing in each and every one of the groups. But by his potency, each of the devotees and each of the kirtan groups were thinking that the Lord is only with us. He is staying only with us. He goes nowhere else except with us. And sometimes even each devotee was thinking that Lord Chaitanya is only looking at me. Now, who has the power to do that except the Lord? If we look at somebody, somebody else is saying, why not looking at me? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was just appearing one form, but everyone is thinking he's looking only at me. Only everyone is thinking he's dancing only with us. But King Prataparusha was one of the very few people who could actually see what was really happening. He was astonished when he revealed what he was seeing to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra. They were struck with wonder what mercy he was receiving. What was the mercy that he received? He could see that Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya were the one same Supreme Person. But for the sake of exchange of loving pastimes, Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya expanded into two forms. Lord Jagannath was playing the role of Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya was in the role of Srimati Radharani. Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. This is the identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna with the emotional, spiritual sentiments of love of his own pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. And he exhibits her own beautiful golden complexion as well. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of the supreme devotee, was dancing. King Prataparuja could understand this fully, that the one Supreme Lord is taking the role of his supreme devotee and himself to reciprocate love. And King Prataparuja could also see with his eyes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was simultaneously in all the seven kirtan groups to fulfill everyone's innermost desires. Procession carried on. Now this procession, it's not something ordinary. Jagannath goes where he wants to go. And whoever's pulling, all the thousands of people pulling the ropes before his chariot. And I believe there's at least four ropes for each chariot, sometimes more. But he goes where he wants to go. Just a few years ago, we were in Puri.
And there's no brakes. And there's no steering wheels. Like in the West, we have Jagannath's chariots. And there's steering apparatuses, and there's brakes, and so many nice technologies. You have to do that in the West, because the roads are not designed specifically for this. But in Puri, the grand road is designed especially for Rath Yatra. It is so wide that thousands of people. In fact, on this road, which is only a couple kilometers from Sri Kshetra, Jagannath Temple, to Gundicha, the year I was there, there were 800,000 people on the road simultaneously. And oftentimes, there's well over 1 million. It's a big road. And they're pulling the chariots. And if the chariot starts going a particular direction, the Dayatapatis and the Pandas and the Pujaris, they have these gongs that they ring to stop. And then they direct, because they're on the top of the chariot with the deity. And they say, go this way. And then everybody has to shift and pull the ropes this way, this way, this way. So they have to keep keeping it straight. But the year we were there, Lord Balaram's chariot, which is the first chariot. First Balaram, then Subhadra Devi, then Jagannath. Balaram was going to the side instead of the front. And they stopped the chariot, and they were pulling the other direction to straighten him out. But as they pulled, Balaram kept going the way he wanted to go. What do you do about this? You can't back up these chariots either. They can only go forward. They're huge. They were tons and tons and tons. And they're pulling this way. And Balaram's coming this way. And they're stopping and they're pulling more this way. And Balaram's going this way. Until Balaram went right in front of an electrical power pole on the side of the road. He went all the way to the side of the road. Now what do you do? You can't make him go backward. So the whole parade stopped. Baladev's chariot stopped. Subhadra's chariot stopped behind Jagannath's. And then we saw with our eyes Jagannath Puri technology. They got bamboo sticks and put some sort of like T-shaped wood on the top of it. And somebody climbed up with their bare feet with a gumsha, climbed up to the top of the pole and disconnected all the electrical powers from the lines from the pole. And then they held up all those lines with bamboo sticks. Big, tall bamboo sticks. Maybe, 20 feet up. They were holding it up, or maybe 15, 18 feet up. And then they had to get picks and axes. And they had to just pound and pound and pound into the concrete until they dug a big hole. Then they just uprooted the whole pole. Took the pole out, they just moved it to some other place, and they had all the wires way, way up on top, and then they pulled the chariot, and Balaram's chariot very nicely went under the wires. And then after he passed, they put the pole back, and then they put the cement in, and they put all the wires back. But that took several hours. It took probably 3 hours to do all that. It's very extraordinary. And I remember when they were bringing Jagannath on the top of the chariot. We're going back, rewinding the story. When they were bringing him up, it's not that they just bring him up. This is a huge chariot. They have to build the ramp. And they build it right there in front of you. they have these huge tree trunks, gigantic logs, and they just bring one at a time and put them next to each other, probably around 15 or 10 tree trunks, and they tie them together with natural twine and rope, and that's how they make the ramp. And Jagannath is so big. There's so many huge Dayatapatis trying to carry him with ropes and with their arms. They're trying to bring him up this ramp. And all of a sudden, when he was about 3/4 up, they carry him. He's upright. All of a sudden, Jagannath just leaned back like this. From this, he became like this. And they're all trying to lift him up again, but they can't lift him up. And then he started going off the ramp. He started actually going off to the side, just leaning, and they're trying to... For about 10 minutes, they were trying to lift him up. But Jagannath just kept laying down in their... He was laying down in their shoulders and in their arms with the ropes, but he wouldn't go upward, and he wouldn't move. And they're struggling and they're straining. I was right up close. Struggling and straining. And meanwhile, in Jagannath Puri, because there's so many people, they have a speaker system. For all along the whole road, there's loudspeakers. And there's one person who's like the common, he's like the announcer of what's happening. And he's telling everybody, now Jagannath is like this, and he... And they're struggling, straining, struggling, trying to try to get Jagannath to come up, but he was just laying there. And finally the announcer said, for everyone to hear, he just cried out, Jagannath! There's almost 1 million people here to watch you in your procession. This is not a time to go to sleep. And as soon as he said that, Jagannath just came up. Somehow they got him to the top. Oftentimes I saw with Baladev, they brought him almost to the top, and all of a sudden he went backward, and they just all to the bottom, and then they had to try again. Sorry. So these deities are very extraordinary people. So all the seven kirtan parties were chanting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he was in all seven simultaneously, sometimes he would assume just one form, and then all the seven kirtan parties would just merge into like one to just see him dancing in the middle. And how he danced. The ecstatic symptoms that he exhibited. Mahabhav. Sometimes he was weeping, but the tears were not just pouring, but shooting out of his eyes in large quantities, just like syringes, soaking everyone around. And sometimes his hairs would stand on end, like the thorns of the shibuli tree. And other times his teeth would chatter like a little child in the winter. In fact, it appeared that every tooth was chattering separately and that they were all going to fall out at any second. Sometimes his body would turn colors. It turned from beautiful golden form to white to pink, like the Malika flower. Sometimes his limbs would become as soft as butter, and other times every limb of his body became as hard as dry wood. He would cry out in a choked up voice, Jajagaga, 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 without being able to say anything else. Sometimes profuse perspiration and sometimes transcendental ecstasy of blood flowed from every pore of his body. Sometimes he would leap in the air and whirl around like a firebrand. And other times he would fall to the ground and stop breathing for long periods of time. and sometimes he would roll in the ground like a great golden mountain. This dance of love, the different symptoms of ecstasy in his body seemed to be fighting with each other like opposing armies of soldiers. This was his love. This is how Lord Chaitanya performed Nam Sankirtan. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, he knew exactly what the Lord's emotion was and would sing accordingly. Sometimes to protect Lord Chaitanya from the massive crowds of millions of people, they made circles around him. Nityananda Prabhu would hold hands with his devotees to make the first circle. Kashishwar Pandit and Govindam would hold hands with others to make a second circle around that. And King Prataparudra with his ministers held hands to make a third circle. And it is explained that one time Lord Chaitanya was dancing so beautifully, King Prataparudra was in rapt attention to seeing this dance of love. And Srivas Thakur was in the circle in front of him. And Srivas Thakur was standing right in front of the king. And the king's chief minister, Harishchandra, he was trying to tap King Prataparudra, Srivas Thakur, to tell him to move. You're blocking the vision of the king. Yes. Srivas Thakur was just a simple devotee, householder, wife, children, living very simple life, and he's blocking the way of the king. So Harishchandra kept moving, he tried to tap him and push him just out of the way. But Srivas Thakur was so absorbed in the watching of Lord Chaitanya's dance, he did not acknowledge. But after being pushed repeatedly, he turned around and gently slapped Harishchandra. Harishchandra he's a high minister in the government. This guy's slapping me. So he became a little angry and he was about to chastise Srivas Thakur. But King Prataparudra stopped him and said, "You are so fortunate. You have been touched. You have been blessed by the touch of Srivas Thakur. I am so unfortunate. I have not received such a benediction." And one time, Lord Chaitanya, everybody was in so much ecstasy and dancing and chanting, they forgot who they were. And they were no longer protecting Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya fell in his ecstasy right in the arms of King Prataparudra. And then Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness and saw where he was and appeared very disturbed. He said, "How abominable. I have been touched by a materialistic person." And the king was devastated. But then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to him, "Actually, the Lord's very pleased with you. He just said that to teach the common people that they should not intimately associate with materialistic people. But actually, he's very pleased, and he'll give you special mercy today." King was pacified. And Swarup Damodara Goswami began to sing just according to the Lord's feelings in his heart. He sang a beautiful verse, a prayer. "Now I have again gained the Lord of my life. In the absence of, I was being burned by the arrows of Cupid and withering away. Now again I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by the arrows of Cupid and withering away." This was the mood of Srimati Radharani, the Lord's eternal pleasure potency, when she met Krishna at Kurukshetra. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, What is the internal significance of Ratha Yatra?
When Krishna was 12 years and 8 months old, he left Vrindavan for Mathura. And later he went to Dwarka. And the residents of Vrindavan were crying continuously in ecstatic love and separation from Krishna. But then Krishna invited them to the holy place of Kurukshetra, where the Yadu dynasty, headed by Krishna, were going to observe the solar eclipse at Brahma Sarovar. So the residents of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, the gopas and gopis, they loaded their ox carts and traveled from Brajbhumi to Kurukshetra. And it was a great reunion. Nanda was meeting Vasudev and Ugrasena, and Yashoda was meeting Devaki and others, and all the different people were greeting each other. But ultimately, through all those formalities, the Brijbasis, their hearts' only aspiration was to see Krishna. Swarup Damodar Goswami was singing a beautiful verse, which was the verse of Srimati Radharani, which was very beautifully explained by Rupa Goswami, that I am the same Radha and you are the same Krishna, and these are the same moonlit nights of the month of Chaitra. But I desire to bring you back to the forest of Vrindavan, on the bank of the Yamuna, in a forest of Kadamba trees. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inspired to offer his own personal prayers to Lord Jagannath in the mood of Sri Radha, meeting Krishna in Kurukshetra. She said that it is said that the mind and the heart are one. My heart is Vrindavan. I can never leave Vrindavan because that is the favorite place for you to perform your pastimes. For so long I have been in separation. Please, once again, bring your lotus feet to step within the forest of Vrindavan. That will fulfill all of my desires. I am seeing you here in Kurukshetra. You are surrounded by crowds of military soldiers. But in Vrindavan, you are surrounded by cows and cowherd boys. Here in Kurukshetra, I see the royal opulence of a king. You are dressed with crown and beautiful kingly attire. But in Vrindavan, you are only wearing a peacock feather on your hair and a beautiful flower, a beautiful garland of wild flowers, dressed as a simple little cowherd boy. In Kurukshetra, there is the rattling of the sounds of chariots and horses and elephants. In Vrindavan, there is the singing of the birds and the humming of the bees. I do not find even a fraction of a drop of happiness here as I do from the vast unlimited ocean in Vrindavan. So please, my Lord, return to Vrindavan. You sent Uddhava to teach us that we can always be with you through meditation on your form, your activities. But we are not mystic yogis that we can sit and just meditate on you. We are simple gopis
It is ludicrous to teach us this meditation techniques of Ashtanga Yoga. We're simple cowherd girls. Why do you do this? Do you not see that our aspiration is to serve you and to love you? We are drowning in a deep, fathomless ocean of separation from you. And we're being swallowed by the Tim and Gilla fish of our aspiration to serve you personally. Please rescue us from the mouths of this Tim and Gilla fish and return to Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Sri Radha, is praying that I do not care for my own unhappiness, but my heart breaks when I see the unhappiness of Nanda, Yashoda, your own mother and father, and all the cowherd boys and cowherd girls. Is it your plan that you have left Vrindavan and remain in Dwarka because you want to kill them? They love you. They've surrendered to you. They've given their lives to you. Please restore their life. Keep them alive. Return to Vrindavan. It is our only aspiration. Please return to Vrindavan, because we know that is where you are most happy. That was actually the spirit of gopis, our acharyas explain. They did not want Krishna to return to Vrindavan for their own happiness, but they knew it is Madhurya Dham. Dwarka is Aishwarya Dham, a place of great opulence and majesty. But Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham. It is a place of the sweetness, of the most intimate love. And that is where Krishna is most happy. And they could not tolerate thinking of Krishna in any other place. That is their love, selfless love. When Krishna heard the words of Sri Radha, he became very choked up with emotion and began to cry. And he said, please know that day and night I am only remembering the gopas and gopis in Vrindavan. I cannot live without you, and I know that you cannot live without me. I am only in Dwarka as a formality to please the Yadus, but my heart is always with you. And I know that you will die without my presence. Therefore, every day, Krishna said, I worship Lord Narayan. And by doing so, I have the power to come to Vrindavan and reciprocate and perform pastimes with you within your hearts. And you can feel my presence, although you cannot see me. And that keeps you alive. But very soon, I will make myself visible to you. I've already protected the inhabitants of Vrindavan from such asuras as Kamsa, Jarasandha. He said, very soon I will complete my mission. There are only two or four more demons that I have to dispose of, and then I will return to Vrindavan. So this is how Lord Chaitanya was meditating on Ratha Yatra. This was his mood. He wasn't just singing and dancing. He was actually, in his heart of hearts, bringing Krishna, Baladeva, and Subhadra back to Vrindavan. You see, why Baladeva and Subhadra? Why the gopis want to bring them also? Because they knew if they just brought Krishna in their chariots, the Yadu dynasty would not be able to maintain their lives. Because they knew that Krishna would never return to Dwarka. So they brought Balaram and Subhadra just to pacify the Yadus, to think that if Baladeva and Subhadra are there, they will bring Krishna back to Dwarka. This is Ratha Yatra. And Prabhupada explained in San Francisco in 1967 in his address during Ratha Yatra, he said, Ratha Yatra is the festival in which we meditate on bringing Krishna back into our hearts. Vrindavan is our hearts, bringing Krishna back home into our hearts by purifying ourselves. That is Ratha Yatra. It's the most esoteric, deep, and beautiful of all meditations. It's the most incredible festival of all festivals. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every single year would celebrate it with all of his devotees in this way. The procession carried on. Should I carry on? Just tell me when to stop. I do not want to inconvenience you. They brought him to a place called Balagandhi. And there, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, the chariot stopped to rest. And King Prataparudra and so many Brahmins and other people would come with offerings that they prepared in their homes to offer to Jagannath. This is the time of the year when everyone could cook personally for Jagannath and personally make the offer to the deity. And Jagannath accepts everything that's offered with love. There were thousands of preparations offered by the king and his ministers and his queens. And there were so many preparations made by different Brahmin families and anyone and everyone. They just brought and they just surrounded the chariots with so many food preparations of bhoga, offering, offering, offering. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates had already been dancing non-stop in ecstasy all day long. So Lord Chaitanya saw that his associates were very tired. They went into a private garden. And all the devotees lay down under different trees to rest. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laid on a raised platform, resting. At that time, Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya showed great love to the king, Prataparudra. They told him to take off his kingly dress and wear the simple clothing of a Vaishnava. And they told him to go into the garden. Now we know previously Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to see the king. Niskinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajano Mukasya Param Param Jigamasura Bhavasagarasya. When they asked Lord Chaitanya to meet the king, he said, it is more abominable than drinking poison for one who wants to cross over the ocean of birth and death to meet such a materialistic person is worse than drinking poison willingly. If you ever ask me to meet him again, I'll leave this place and not come back. That was how strong he was showing an example that one in the renounced order of life has to follow his principles. Lord Chaitanya did not like hypocrisy or cheating. But in his heart of hearts, he wanted to fulfill the desire of the king. So on the instructions of the devotees, King Prataparudra disguised himself in the dress of a devotee, and all alone came before Lord Chaitanya, bowed down, and with his own hands began to massage the feet and the legs of the Lord. And while he was doing that, he chanted Gopi Gita, beginning with Jayati Deitikam Janmana Praja. These are the songs that the gopis sang in separation from Krishna during the Ras Lila. When he sang the first verse, Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He was in such an ecstatic state, he did not even acknowledge the fact that this was the king. He said, go on reciting, go on reciting. And the king carried on reciting, and Lord Chaitanya was so happy, just said, go on reciting, go on reciting, until he came to that celebrated verse, Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam. which explains the beautiful narrations of your teachings in past times, my Lord, can relieve one of all the fire of suffering of this material existence. The sound of your past times, the sound of the narration of your teachings, my Lord, extinguish the burning fire of material existence and awaken sweet nectar of ecstasy within the heart. And those persons who are most compassionate, they broadcast your glories all over the world. Such persons are the most munificent of all welfare workers. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he got up and embraced King Prataparudra. And as he embraced him, he soaked the king's body with the tears of his love, and the king soaked the Lord's body with the tears of his love. The Lord kept embracing him again and again and again. And finally, the Lord began to speak with a choked voice. He said, "You are the most munificent. You are the most munificent. You are the most munificent. You have come to this lonely place where I am laying to give me such nectar. You are giving me the greatest thing. You are reminding me of Krishna. You are speaking about Krishna. You are giving me the greatest treasure. I have no power to ever repay you. All I have to repay you is just to embrace you in gratitude." He went on chanting this verse over and over and over again, bringing great love to the Lord's heart. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked, "You have come to give me such nectar. Who are you?"
Hare Krishna.
What would you say in that permission, in that predicament? You can't tell a lie before the Supreme Lord. And if he were to tell the truth, "I am King Prataparudra." Please listen carefully. If you just understand his reply, you will achieve the ultimate perfection of the goal of life. Shall I speak? Huh? King Prataparudra said, he identified himself not with his temporary role as a king, but with his eternal identity. He said, "I am the obedient servant of the servant of your servants, and my only aspiration in life is to be the servant of the servant of your servants." In this regard, Srila Prabhupada explains, there is no perfection higher than this. A devotee does not even want to serve the Lord directly. A devotee is so humble that they want to be the servant of the Lord. Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj, who we are reading today. After Lord Narasimhadev liberated Hiranyakashipu, his father, the Lord was so grateful to Prahlad for his chastity, his faithfulness and devotion. He offered Prahlad any benediction in all the materials and spiritual worlds. Prahlad Maharaj said, "I don't want anything from you. I'm not a businessman doing service expecting something in return. The only benediction I wish is eternally to be the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants." Dhruva Maharaj was offered any benediction by Kuvera. He only desired to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And Kolavecha Sridhar, who was a poverty-stricken person, a banana leaf seller, the Lord offered him all mystic powers. The Lord offered him promotion to the spiritual world, anything, the opulences of Indra. But the only thing he asked for was to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord.
Therefore, it is to be concluded by the great souls that there is nothing greater to aspire for than to be the servant of the servant of the Lord.
Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine opulences to King Prataparudra. He made him promise not to tell anyone what he had seen.
And after King Prataparudra performed this wonderful service, he bowed down and went out of the garden, where all the devotees were congratulating him for his good fortune. This is the nature of a real pure-hearted soul. We're more happy when we see someone else receiving the Lord's mercy than we are ourselves. We're most happy to see someone else being elevated than even ourselves being elevated. Krishna tells in Gita, "You can only understand me, Arjuna, because you are non-envious, because you are genuinely the well-wisher of all."
Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed prasad to all the devotees and made them eat up to their necks in Jagannath's prasad. And then to end today's story, when they went out to pull the chariots didn't move. Thousands of people pulling wouldn't move. And then King Prataparudra got the gigantic muscular wrestlers of the kingdom to all pull. Didn't move. Then he got the royal elephants and harnessed all the elephants to the chariot. And the elephant trainers were with their goads, they were just pushing and poking the elephants. And they were struggling and straining and practically weeping, but they couldn't move the chariot even an inch. Nobody knew what to do. Then Lord Chaitanya came, and he released the elephants and sent the wrestlers away and put the ropes in his little humble devotee's hands. And then he went behind the chariot, and with his head he pushed the chariot, moved forward to the Gundicha temple. Thus Jagannath Baladev Subhadra attained Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada explained that Rath Yatra is a festival of love. In London in 1972, Prabhupada was very sick, very ill. And yet during the Rath Yatra, even in his old age, he danced the entire procession all the way to Trafalgar Square. Srila Prabhupada taught us that this Rath Yatra is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of distributing pure love of God to everyone. Through the beautiful darshan of the Lord, through distribution of the Lord's prasad, through the association of devotees, and through the constant chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is the wonderful process of following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, of being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. I thank you very much. And I'm sorry for going over time, but sometimes I do that. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.